Hey, thanks for listening to this Joy podcast. If you like what we do and you listen to our podcast on a regular basis, it's time to put your money where your ears are. It's Radiothon. Go to joy.org.au, become a member or donate and keep us out loud and proud so we can make more of the stuff you like.
Broadway icon John Cameron Mitchell channels the essence of his glam rock icon, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, for one night only at Arts Centre Melbourne this July. So put on some makeup, turn up the A-track and pull the wig down from the shelf. John Cameron Mitchell, July 10 at Arts Centre Melbourne. Book now. Joy sponsor.
Listening to Chicks Talking Footy live from Etihad Stadium, where the Saints and Swans are going head-to-head for the annual AFL Pride Match. You're on Joy 94.9, sponsored by the AFL.
You're on the Chicks Talking Footy broadcast live from the program. I'm Beck. I'm here with Fee. We are having a cracker of a night, aren't we?
We are.
We've had a message in from Sue from Abbotsford who says, love your work. Oh, we love yours too, Sue.
Oh, and Abbotsford's a great suburb.
Oh, stop it. Now, Fiona, there was one thing I said tonight. I said, if I have to speak to Tynan Wimmer for the third year in a row, I'm quitting the show.
You're awful.
But here he is again.
Well, actually, 2 years ago, we put the word out. A hashtag love for Tynan.
We did, actually.
We were on a boyfriend search for you.
Yes, absolutely.
How's that gone?
Did it work?
In certain aspects, yeah, totally, but not the boyfriend part.
Well, there's always this year.
Yeah, lots of love, but not the boyfriend aspect.
But we don't just have Tynan. We have former NRL player Casey Conway. Casey, this is your first time with us, so don't be
finally
scared.
We'll be a bit more respectful.
Yeah, that's
absolutely.
Right.
I hope so.
Tynan's old news. Now, Casey, you're at Pride in Sport.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about Pride in Sport and what they do.
So Pride in Sport, we're a national program. We work with national state sporting organisations as well as professional clubs and now universities. We've had Melbourne Uni and RMIT join the program. And I guess our primary focus is making sport, more safe and inclusive for LGBTI people, to access, whether it's as an athlete or in the grandstands or, even working for organisations. You know, there's some people in our community that want to go work in sports administration but don't feel as though it's safe to do so. So the work that we do hopefully, will help sort of shift practice in what's happening in sport at the moment, and open up doors to our community to be able to go in and be a part of sport.
Absolutely. Now, as well as both being gay men, you're both Indigenous men, and I think sport probably has a big role to play in both those communities.
Absolutely.
And in issues that affect both those communities. Why do you think sport's important in bridging the gaps in both areas?
Because I think it's just an open place for inclusiveness for a lot of people. So, like, I know for me, growing up, sport was a big deal for me. Like, if I didn't have sport, I probably wouldn't be here today. It got me through a lot, even though there was, sort of that sort of racial abuse on a regular basis and then sort of those homophobic slurs at the time, people weren't aware of my sexuality. But if I didn't have sport, I didn't have that sort of community feeling that you do get when you are in a group sport environment, I don't think, I would be here. So for me, it was really important to sort of bridge that gap and sort of being part of something bigger than myself.
And what about for you, Casey?
Yeah, I mean, for me, racism and homophobia feel exactly the same way. I have a personal experience where, I've been called a racist name on the field. The ref heard it, sent my opposition off, and then he's come back on and called me a homophobic name, and the ref didn't know what to do, so he just let it go. So for me, they hurt equally. So, they definitely, it's very important in addressing that. And I think sport, has come a long way in terms of addressing racism, within sport and on the field and in the grandstands. And at least now, homophobia and transphobia is on the radar for Australian sport. So lots of work to be done, but, I guess we're off the mark and running.
And your dad, Tynan, obviously played a big role in such an iconic image.
Yep.
Which it was only 25 years ago.
Yeah, 25, yeah.
Yeah, he lifted his top up and
pointed skin color,
proudly declared himself as a black man. You can do that tonight too, if you
I'm not a spin, unfortunately.
Yeah. Or maybe we'll wait till the after party. But, what effect did that have on you growing up?
It was one of those images that just was sort of went everywhere when I grew up. It was like in my sort of social books at school, people always knew sort of me because of that image. And it was sort of like a reflection on who I was as a person. So growing up, it was a really iconic moment in my life and I think in a lot of people's lives. And it was just sort of, it's funny how it's become full circle, with me taking a stand against, homophobia in sport and everything like that. So it's just one of those things. It's a legacy that you need to sort of live up to, and it's a great legacy to have. So it's one of those things that just will always be part of my life and who I am.
Casey, you came out, I guess, after you retired from NRL, and we haven't had any male players come out at the highest level, although we do have a lot of out female players in the AFLW. What do you think needs to change in men's sport for that to happen?
I think we often talk about, creating a safe space for, for men particularly to be able to do that. So moving away from, the entrenched toxic masculinity that does exist within sport, and also there's lots of pressure at the moment as well. So sort of, I guess, once we sort of move to a space, and tonight's games are a great initiative to sort of get it out there that it's normal to be gay and want to be at sport and want to play sport. So I guess sort of removing lots of pressures that are in place at the moment. A lot of people need to understand that it's a personal journey as well. So with that, lots of responsibility comes. Mm. So, an athlete is going to want to have to feel really, really safe before they feel like they can do that. And I guess, we also need to focus on elevating the women as well that are out, because it can happen, and the results are showing that women are performing really, really well. So I guess sort of elevating that, but also sort of relieving a bit of the pressure, that we are placing on that, as a sporting community.
Yeah, I mean, some of the top female players are quite comfortable. Erin Phillips kissed her wife when she won the Best and Fairest Awards. Sorry, my microphone is being dragged down. Erin Phillips kissed her wife after winning the Best and Fairest Awards.
Yep.
Women, we were at the Best and Fairest one night, and the girls were just rocking up with their female partners taking photos, and I thought, man, what's it going to take for this to happen at the Brownlow?
Yeah.
Where men feel comfortable with that. But I suppose the first man or men that do that are going to face a media storm.
Yeah.
And that's unavoidable.
I think it's going to come from sort of the VFL league, with someone through the draft pick more than someone actually playing in the AFL league right now. So I think it's just, we've just got to be understanding and sort of a little bit more caring about that person coming out, because there is going to be a lot of pressure on that person. They're going to be that centre focus. So it's not a big deal. I think that's what we need to take out of it. And I think the Women's League is showing that it's not a big deal to have a same-sex partner and be able to be openly affectionate with that partner in public. So, yeah.
This is our third men's pride game. We've had one women's one. Tynan, since the first time you came here, three games ago, what positive changes have you seen from that?
I think it's the sort of the crowd has sort of increased over the years. I know for the sort of pre-event that we had there, was a bigger crowd than what it was first year. I think more the inclusiveness has come from it. I think having sort of trans inclusiveness this year is a really massive step. It's really good to see that the game is sort of adding different aspects to it, rather than just sort of have, the gay and lesbian factor about it. They've had the trans inclusiveness. So I think as a game, it's growing more and more, and that's what we need to find from this. And we need to have it to a point where we don't need to have a pride game. Everyone's included.
Mm. Is there a pride game in the NRL, Casey?
No, not yet. But
are you
going to
start
on
one?
Yeah, I I definitely used tonight's example of of the power of such an initiative. So, I'd love to see it spread across all our codes. So, watch your space.
Well, we actually had a person post on our Facebook page today, a male couple, that said, we haven't felt safe going to the football for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Tonight's the first game that we've been to in that amount of time.
That's amazing.
And we feel safe, and we all had a bit of a cry.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
That's the kind of story that makes sense of these nights, that people do feel safe.
Yeah, so that type of storytelling that makes a big difference as well. It's like hearing those people's stories about them, not feeling safe for the game, and then all of a sudden feeling included. It's really amazing. So
Now, we've been very serious, but one thing I've learnt from my time with the LGBTI community is they know how to party.
I do.
Tell me, boys, what song is going to get you both out on the dance floor at the after party tonight?
Me, it's just any song, really.
Yeah, correct.
You like to dance no one's
whatever
watching.
Goes with alcohol, really, is a great song. Yeah.
And what about you, Casey? Give me one. What's the Casey Conway kind of number?
I can't go past Whitney.
I want to dance with somebody.
Yeah. I'll probably lip sync as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, look, Cassie Conway, if that song comes on, my friend, I will be out there with you.
She'll be in the middle of the dance floor waiting for
Although,
her.
Remember 2 years ago, we had an after party with really bright fluorescent lights. Yeah. And I said, look, it's really hard to dance like no one's watching when there's fluorescent lights.
Focus.
But Tyne and Winmar, you did anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have to say, Tyne and Winmar is my dance-spiration.
Dance-spiration.
Like, whenever I'm out on the floor, I'm like, what would Tyne do?
There's no coordination to it, but it looks good.
Yeah, exactly. Well, look, thank you so much for joining us, guys. It's been an absolute pleasure. We saved the best till last. I personally requested to speak to both of you.
Your pressure's on now, Casey.
This is Casey's jam. You can't see it on the radio, but Casey Conway is going off.
Do I hear Whitney?
Thank you so much, guys. Thanks, enjoy the rest of the game.
Thank you.
Bye.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.